words of my mouth,
the meditations of all our hearts, always be acceptable to you, our Sovereign and the Redeemer of our lives. Amen. This Christmas morning, we've heard one of the most emotionally powerful, one of the most transformative pieces of news that I know of. We've heard from the prologue of the Gospel of John. Listen again, and listen with the ear of your heart. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was in God's presence, and the Word was God. The Word was present with God in the beginning. Through him, all things came into being. And apart from him, not a thing came to be. That which had come to be in him was life. And this life was the light of humankind. The light shines on in the darkness, for the darkness did not overcome it. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of an only Son coming from the Father, filled with enduring love. I've proclaimed this particular gospel and heard it proclaimed many times at Christmas. And more often than not, I've had to pause to get hold of myself because I have been overcome by it. There is such beauty of holiness expressed in this early Christian hymn, adapted as an overture to John's story of the life that is Jesus, that our heart is somehow touched at its very core, even in spite of ourselves. It's almost like God is whispering something to us, whispering something deep down that we already know but are afraid to admit, even to ourselves, that these lives we've carefully crafted, this world of ours that we work so hard to manage, are beautiful, precious, wonderful, but also vulnerable, fragile, and ultimately, not enough. It's as if the spare and poetic intensity of John's prologue speaks to a place deep down inside each of us that wants something more. Something more to this life than meets the eye. But I want to try and keep it simple, even at the risk of oversimplification. And that's because the more I experience the ups and downs of my own life, in other words, the older I get, the clearer it becomes to me that the Christmas story itself is very simple. God emptied out God's self and became like one of us, just like one of us, to show us how much God loves us. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of an only Son coming from the Father, filled with enduring love. Well, there's a little more to it than that. But for me, that's pretty much the core. When God surveyed humankind and recognized in the light of divine compassion and mercy how dark and difficult our days could be, how confused we often are about who we are and where we fit in, how many painful things we do to each other out of that confusion and insecurity, God decided it was time. And so, after giving the law and sending the prophets, God got involved, personally, intimately involved with God's broken creation. But note, when God in Jesus chose to get personally involved, God didn't come to punish or frighten or scold or threaten. Instead, God came down to tell us that we are loved deeply, truly, forever and ever. And just to help us get the point, God first gave that word embodied in Jesus to a variety of people the world was pretty sure weren't particularly important, or for that matter, loved. No account shepherds, an unwed teenage mother, astrologers practicing a whole different religion that probably wouldn't get them into the United States. All of this to make it clear that God doesn't leave anyone behind. Whether the world thinks you're important or lovable or not. In particular, God in Jesus kept a special place in God's heart for those who don't feel loved or even lovable. For those who regularly feel like they are on the outside looking in, those who feel forgotten, those who wonder what the point of life is. The transformative word of God's love, who is Jesus, is especially for them. And that's still the way it is. After all the preparing for today, or for that matter, after all our personal struggles and heartaches, after all the pain of the world, after all that preoccupies our minds and distracts our hearts and makes our lives kind of crazy, the promise that actually there is something more is galvanizing. The heart skips. It's like, wow. Perhaps the simple and peaceful word that we are of infinite value to God is the one word each of us somehow needs to hear this Christmas day. The loving assurance that the hope we hang on to, that despite all appearances, we are each of us worthy of love, is not in vain. And so, John, in an overture to the gospel itself, reaches out in poetic and transformative speech that bypasses all human logic, undercuts the rationality of materialism, to touch the center of our being with the mysterious truth that God in Jesus is irreconcilably for us. For us. For you. Joined to our ups and downs, our hopes and fears, and committed to giving us not just more of the same, but something more. Jesus the Redeemer comes, that is, not just to give us more of the life we already know, but new life altogether. And the life that is the light of the world is the life that Jesus came to live and did live for us. May I wish you all and all whom you love a happy Christmas and every blessing of new life in the new year. And may I add a prayer that the life and love of God in Jesus will make our love braver. Amen.